Ocean fish like tuna and other seafood are a major contributor to exposure of the toxin methylmercury in humans. A study published last week demonstrates how methylmercury originates in the ocean. This afternoon, WMNF spoke with David Krabenhoff, a research scientist with the U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS, and a co-author of the research paper.
Methylmercury is a specific form of mercury that exists in the environment largely through a process called methylation. And the reason scientists and the public are most concerned about that part of the total amount of mercury in the environment is that's the form of mercury that accumulates in food webs and thus presents the greatest threat in terms of toxicity and exposure.
At mid-ocean depths, when bacteria decompose algae in the presence of mercury, methylmercury is produced. It can cause human health problems, including cognitive effects in children. Krabenhoff says there is still an area of active research to more fully understand its effects.
There are neurological concerns from methylmercury exposure, cardiovascular disease. There's in wildlife concerns for population effects due to diminished reproductive capacities. There are concerns, as you mentioned, for unborn children because there appears to be a magnification effect across the uterus, whereas maternal blood may have a concentration of X, the developing baby's blood could have a concentration of 3X.
The amount of methylmercury in seafood depends on the type of fish and where it was caught, Krabenhoff says, because essentially all of them have some.
Because mercury is truly a global contaminant, and methylmercury formation is happening at some level just about in any environment where a fish would exist. Certainly there's variability, and the amount of mercury in fish is going to vary mostly depending on their diet. So fish that eat other fish generally have more methylmercury in their tissue. So the top predator fish of the oceans generally have a relatively high methylmercury content as opposed to fish that maybe are plant eaters.
Krabenhoff and his team measured mercury levels at intermediate depths from about 100 to 1,000 meters in the Pacific all the way from Alaska to Hawaii. They found a consistent increase in a short time frame.
We observed mercury concentrations in the Pacific Ocean that were about 30% higher than the last set of measurements from the same area that are published in the literature, which is back in the mid-1990s.
The model that Krabenhoff and the other researchers created to help analyze their data predicts that those mercury levels will continue to go up unless something is done to reduce mercury emissions.
The 30% increase isn't the end point. It's still on a trajectory upward in response to the increasing global emission pattern of mercury that's currently estimated for the world. And if the current emission rates are sustained, our model estimates another 50% increase by the year 2050.
The mercury that Krabenhoff and his team found in the Pacific comes from local sources in Asia as well as global mercury emissions.
And that's the total amount of mercury being emitted to the atmosphere from across the globe. However, proximity does matter. So in the case of the Pacific Ocean, those sources that are proximate to the ocean but also upwind, and in this case, it appears that emissions originating from Asian countries have a disproportionately large effect on the area that we studied.
Krabenhoff says he was caught completely off guard to learn, from his team's computer simulation model of large ocean circulation, how quickly mercury is transported from the coast of Asia to the eastern Pacific.
I was not prepared to think of a transport within the ocean that could deliver mercury deposited near the coastline of Asia all the way across the Pacific into the eastern Pacific, where our samples were collected, in the time frame of 2 to 4 years. I frankly was not aware that the circulation patterns operated at those timescales. I intuitively thought those timescales for that kind of transport were much longer than the time frame that the model actually indicates.
Atmospheric mercury comes from a variety of sources in different places around the world, Krabenhoff says, but most comes from human activities. This is especially true for Asia, where most of the contributing mercury is suspected to come from.
Those emitting sources are due to stationary combustors, and by that I mean things like coal burning for electric power generation, smelting of base metal ores to make you know, make metals, again, for industrial practices, things like cement manufacturing, waste incineration. These are all things that are prevalent not only in Asia but across the world, and they're especially important in developing nations.
U.S. Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar said in response to this research, quote, "Now we need to reduce the mercury emissions." Krabbenhoff says that can be accomplished by reducing the amount of fossil fuels that are burned, especially coal.
Well, that's something that we all can participate in. If everybody was cognizant of the fact that everything that they do in their daily life has some effect on whether or not there's greater or lesser need to produce things for our daily lives that can result in more mercury emissions. For example, the more power we use, the more electric power that we need for our daily lives requires more, depending on where you're at, more coal combustion.